We are very grateful. I do feel like today, and sometimes we would just continue on in worship, but I do feel today to speak to you from the word of the Lord. And so we're going to continue on. And I may not speak to you long, but I will speak to you for a few moments today. Anybody like what God is doing? Anybody thankful for what the Lord is doing? Hallelujah. I don't know what the number is now, but in the last couple of weeks, the church has secured somewhere around, I don't know, numbers are somewhere around 7 or 8 Bible studies, and some with more than one person, and people are receiving instruction from the word of the Lord, and people are being filled with the Holy Ghost, and what's happening is the Lord is setting us up for the future, and not just for the future, but for right now as well. Praise God. And so 2 Samuel chapter 23, I'm going to read with verse 11. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. 23:11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground. I guess we'd say it in our vernacular, in our country. He stood his ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And I feel today compelled that the Lord has been doing wonderful things among us. And there's been new ground claimed, new territories established. And I feel like somebody today, I just want to come to you, and I don't know, may not be everybody, but it's going to be somebody. Today I want to tell you it's time to stand your ground. It's time to stand your ground. And sometimes when you're in that moment, other people fade away, and you feel it's kind of lonely. Anybody ever been there? But it's time to stand your ground. Do not give up the fight. And the Bible calls it a lentil field. When you look at lentils, there's different angles and aspects. And, of course, this is not an unfamiliar portion of Scripture because it's so prolific in its message. But lentils, they are a plant. They grow in a pod. Not the pods like storage pods, but you know, like a bean pod or a pea pod. And so because of alliteration, I guess I have a choice. I could call it a bean patch, but I like pea patch better because it, you know, kind of has a pop to it. So since we have that kind of ability to sort of loosely interpret the plant, I'm going to just speak to you about revival in your pea patch. Have you ever been in the pea patch? Now, peas are not my favorite vegetables. I like them in Chinese food, and I can eat them other places as long as I have some good seasoning on them. And so when I think of defending a pea patch, now, if it was a watermelon patch, if it was an apple tree, apple orchard, I could kind of let the peas go, all right? But that wasn't the point. And so I want to point out to you today that it's not the value of the field. That's not what matters. It's the fact that you've decided that you're not going to let the enemy have it. That's why it becomes valuable. And so we're going to speak about that a few moments. God, we thank you for being able to be in your house today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what we've already experienced. And we love you. And God, we're grateful for you moving in our midst, and we pray that you would just have your way today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Two things I do want to mention, and that is, first of all, whatever God's been doing in your life up to this point, and even in this point in the service, he's not necessarily finished yet. You could yet receive the Holy Ghost. And I say that could. I believe it's the will of God for you to receive the Holy Ghost before you leave this place. And if you've not been delivered, I believe God wants to deliver you before you leave this house. Praise God. But at least we got three or four that believe it with me. Praise God. That's good. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, there was a convention, evidently. My wife had found this and told me about it, but it was Satan held a convention, the devil convention. And not that she was there, but she just told me where to find it. And he said, we can't keep these apostolics from going to church. And we can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. And we cannot keep them from forming an intimate, abiding relationship with Jesus. And if they gain and keep that connection with him, our power over them is going to be broken. So we're going to have to let them go to their churches and have their conservative lifestyles, but we're going to need to steal their time. If we can steal their time, then go to church. But we're concerned about if we can steal their time in between, then they won't gain a relationship with Jesus Christ. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to distract them from gaining hold of Jesus and maintaining that vital connection throughout the day. And so his fellow minions begin to question, how are we going to do that? Well, the first thing we're going to do is keep them busy with non-essentials. We're going to invent innumerable schemes and ways to occupy their minds. We're going to tempt them. They're going to spend. And then they'll borrow. Then they'll be worried about their bills. We're going to persuade the wives to go to work for long hours and the husbands to work 6 to 7 days each week. 10 to 12 hours a day. That way, that'll be the only way they can afford their empty lifestyles. It'll also keep them from spending time with their children. And after their family fragments, their home will offer no escape from the pressure of the week. And then we're going to overstimulate their minds so that they cannot hear the still small voice. We'll entice them. They'll play the radio and their iPods and their devices. And whenever they're on the road, they'll always listen to something. They'll keep them going constantly in their home, at the restaurant, in the store. I'll take a break here. I think some of that's working because sometimes it's hard to have a conversation with somebody between the phone ringing and dinging. And everybody thinks texting is quick, and it is, until there's about 150 of them in the space of about an hour and a half, and then that's all you're doing is checking your texts. Anyway, now I'll go back to the. And so we'll jam their minds up, and we'll break their union with Christ. Trust me, it'll get better. I know we just had a good move of God, now we're talking about the devil convention. We will fill the coffee tables with magazines and newspapers and pound their minds with news 24 hours a day. We'll invade their driving moments with billboards and flood their mailboxes with junk mail and mail order catalogs and sweepstakes and Amazon and wherever and every kind of newsletter and promotional offering, free products and services and false hopes. Even in their recreation, we'll have them be excessive so that they return from their recreation exhausted, disquieted, and unprepared for the coming week. We won't let them go out and reflect upon God's wonders. Instead, we'll send them to amusement parks and sporting events and concerts and places like that. We'll keep them busy, busy, busy. When they meet for spiritual fellowship, we'll involve them in gossip and small talk so they leave with troubled consciences and unsettled emotions. Go ahead and let them be involved in soul winning, but crowd their lives with so many good causes they have no power to find the true power of Christ. So after that, they'll be working in their own strength. They'll sacrifice their own health and family for the good of the cause. When he got finished, all of the minions begin to shout. They dance. They're excited. You can hear them saying, it'll work. It'll work. It'll work. Come to you today to say, you know, there are more important things than the iPhone. Now, since I'm not an iPhone, I guess I'll have to include the Android. I don't know what the latest of either of them are, but I know that we spend a lot of time on them. I know that we spend a lot of time with things, and yet today we are being challenged because today is revival time. Today is a time to set aside the distractions. Today is the time to set aside things that are temporal and that really don't matter much anymore, because we are in a time where it is time for us to have a move of God in our lives. It may be that your particular pea patch doesn't amount to much. It may not be very valuable. The annual yield may not be a lot of money. But oh, there is a reason that we need to be mindful of it. And that is that it's mine. It belongs to me. And I will stand in it in the power of the Holy Ghost and understand that God is wanting to bring revival to my little pea patch. Oh, hallelujah. There was something about territory that matters to God. Abraham was promised the land where his feet walked. Caleb laid claim to a mountain. David took the decapitated head of Goliath and took it to Jerusalem and laid claim. Naboth refused to give up his inheritance to Ahab. Daniel refused to quit praying in his house with his windows open, with his face toward Jerusalem. Nehemiah set aside a royal position to go back and rebuild the walls of the city. The disciples sent out with the authority of the Holy Ghost. And when they were refused, they shook the dust off their feet, and God honored because he had sent them to that particular place. Territory matters to God. He's not worried about geography. He's not worried about how much money you have or how many acres you possess. But he's talking about you being able to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost and lay claim to the places that he has given to you today. Lentils weren't the issue because they were the fare of a poor man's plate. They weren't that valuable. They were kind of what you had to eat. Certainly a patch of lentils was not a place to die for. There are other places that you could have gone. Perhaps an olive grove, that would have been worth it. Perhaps the wheat fields, those would have been worth it. Perhaps the vineyard somewhere, it would have been worth fighting over. But whoever fought over a pea patch? We don't know a lot about Shammah. According to Colin Berger, his name meant waste. Maybe he had just in his life said, I've just wasted enough time. I've just wasted enough hours. I've wasted enough lost battles. I've wasted enough of giving back things that I should have kept. And I've decided that this particular time, I'm not backing up anymore. I'm not going home this time without my touch. I'm not going to walk away this time without the Holy Ghost. I am going to stand in my pea patch this time, and I'm going to make it worth something. Being a Hararite didn't matter much to us because we don't know that from anything else, but he was from the mountains of Judah. They say he was probably a mountain man. We know just from his brief foray in Scripture that he was a rough man. He was a fighter. He knew how to fight, and he knew how that God could bring him a great victory. Let me tell you something. There is within each of us the ability to fight. That's not the issue today. When you walk into the house of God, you have within you the ability to fight. You've been around family. You know each other. You know how to push some buttons. We've got four young men sitting over there, and I promise you, and two of them are brothers, I promise you those brothers know how to push each other's buttons. They know when it comes to, this is fighting words. They may look nice, and they may look calm right now, but you give me about 30 seconds working with them, and I could probably have them having a little conflict. People have their reasons. The problem is that sometimes the things we fight over are not worth fighting for. The things that we attach value to and the things that get our anxieties up aren't really worth all that much. 100 years from now, you're not going to worry about your bank account. 100 years from now, you're not going to worry about the dent in your car. 100 years from now, you're not going to worry about having your feelings hurt at Thanksgiving when you were with the family. 100 years from now, those things aren't going to matter. But there is one thing that's going to matter, and that is your relationship with Almighty God and whether or not you were able to stand in your pea patch. That's what's going to matter. We don't know the location of the field. We don't know. The Bible doesn't give them. It's not focusing upon that. We don't know if it was in strategic location near the field of battle. We don't know if it was near the front lines or back toward the rear. We don't know if it was near an important city or out in the middle of nowhere in the country. But all we know is when it got time to defend it, the people around him left. They wouldn't stay. And Shammah was left all alone. And he had a decision to make. Listen, there are people that are leaving the pea patch in this hour. There are people that are deciding there's some things that aren't worth fighting for anymore. And they're laying them aside. And that's not what this message is about. But I'll tell you, let them go. Let them run. We've got to stand in the pea patch and have revival. We don't know that it was strategic. We don't know that orders had been issued. The Bible doesn't record anybody ordering him to stay there. We can understand a man giving his life because he'd received orders. And he was following through orders, and he was a soldier in the army, and he knew that to obey his orders was tantamount to his success. But we don't have a record of any orders, and since others fled, we can only assume that there weren't any orders that had been issued. There's nothing to indicate the land was personal. We don't know that it belonged to him. All we know is one day he said, I'm not backing up anymore. And this is what I'm feeling. When we talk about a troop of Philistines, that was the enemy. It is very probable that all they were doing was out on a forage. They were out just going around to see what fields they could trample and see if they found anything they felt like keeping. And they were walking through the land just like the enemy walks through this congregation right now. He's looking around. I wonder if that one's worth. I wonder if I want that one or that one or this one. I wonder. And he looks through and he picks through. And that's all that was going on. They were just walking through. They had their armies. They had their men. And Shammah had a few of his buddies. And they were out. I don't know if they were hiding there or what they were doing. But all that was going on is the enemy was just picking apart whatever he could. And something rose up in Shammah and said, I'm tired of these Philistine foragers coming through my land. It doesn't matter if it belongs to me or not. It doesn't matter if it's mine personally or not. I want to see God do something. It might be that here I am and here's Kendrick today. I don't have Kendrick's land. It's his land. But I'm tired of the devil picking on him. I'm tired of the enemy coming along. And so I'm going to stand here and I'm going to fight and I'm going to make sure there's no Philistines that are coming across this line anymore. He decided, I'm going to fight. I'm going to tell you, we need to get a hold of this thing. It doesn't matter what's yours. It doesn't matter what's mine. It doesn't matter how valuable it is. It doesn't matter. What matters is we're going to stand in this thing together and keep the enemy out of the pea patch. We got to fight. And so he decides to take a stand. I want to personalize this a little bit. Just maybe the pea patch is your life. You stand in the presence of God, and God's already moved in this place, and he's going to move again. You stand there today. I've got a question. At what point can you stand before God and say, this addiction has gone far enough? I'm done. This addiction is over. I stand here, God, and with your help, the enemy is not coming any further. I wonder at what point do you stand there and say, I've been burdened by this thing. This thing has been bugging me. It's been filling me with anxiety. But today, I am done. Don't give me medication. Don't give me some vacation. But give me the power and restoration of the Holy Ghost. Because I've decided I'm going to stand in the pea patch. How long does jealousy eat away before it eats out your heart and destroys your soul? Why not say, I'm not going to be jealous any longer. I'm going to trust in God. I know that I'm beautiful and good in his sight. I'm not worried about it any longer. So we got to draw the line. We got to decide. Somebody needs to get back their joy. Sometimes standing up in this pulpit, I feel like I'm at a funeral seminar. I'm glad two or three of you smiled. Listen, he's a resurrection in life. He's the one that delivers. He's the one that saves. It's a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's all right. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. There is a joy that the Lord gives, and he adds no sorrow. It's the joy of the Lord. If it's been a long time since you laughed, if it's been a long time since you prayed and you felt good and the smile came from your soul, today's a day to say, okay, I'm drawing a line. I'm going to fight for my pea patch. I'm going to have the restoration of the joy of the Lord. What about depression? Depression is a silent killer. There might be two or three that would, and you can be seated, and I'm not going to ask you to stand with this question. There might be two or three that would stand, but most of the time, if you ask people to stand, if they suffer from depression, they don't. Because depression by nature sends you into a corner and into a hole and into a cave where nobody else is welcome. And you, the only people you want in there are people that will give you a pity party. That's all you want. And so you hide in there and you pretend like everything's okay. And you come to church and you smile and you put on your suit or your nice dress and you walk in and you shout a little bit and you worship a little bit. And then you go home and you put on your dark clothes of depression and you live a little while longer. And pretty soon you think that's just how you live for God. But I've come to tell you, God didn't die for you to be depressed. God didn't go through to death for you to walk in death. But God gave you victory. God gave you victory over depression and over the darkness that invades your life. The people that sat in darkness saw a great light. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. The Bible says the darkness and the night are both alike unto thee. God shines into the darkness today. But you got to draw a line. It's just a pea patch. It's just a Sunday afternoon. It's not a holiday. It's in the middle of a warm December morning, and I'm just going to church, and here I am, but I've decided that this is as far as it's going. This is my pea patch, and I'm going to fight even if everybody else decides to go home. God's reaching for somebody. There's a lot of pea patches. What about the prayer life? How long's it been since you forgot about the clock when you were praying? How long's it been since you prayed He ran out of words and he kept praying. And then felt the sweet zephyrs of the Holy Ghost as they blew in. And you begin to feel the Lord. And then you begin to feel the inspiration of the Lord. And you begin to pray for things you hadn't even thought of. As God begins to move upon you. How long's it been since hell trembled when you got on your knees? How long's it been since the gates of heaven began to open up because they anticipated your prayer life? How long, saint of God, has it been since you prayed somebody through to the Holy Ghost? Or you prayed until somebody that you were teaching the Word of God came out of the darkness? How long since the devil knew that you were praying and heaven knew that you were praying? Where is your prayer life? Today is the line. I'm going to stand in this pea patch. I'm not going to give up this pea patch. What about your consecration? We are living in the most defiled. We are living in the most despicable. We are living in the most corrupt and perverted hour that one could ever imagine. We liken the Roman Empire. Listen, the Roman Empire had nothing on us, my friend. We are in a terrible, terrible dark day. And there's perversions that abound. But oh, the church's consecration, the saint of God, if you're a sinner today and all you've known is a load of sin, all you've known is the degradation of drugs, all you've known is the darkness and the guilt that plagues you and walks on your shoulders, let me tell you, there's a better way. There's a better way. There's a way where you can be free of that guilt. There's a way that you can be free of that heaviness. There's a way that you can be free from that darkness. There's a God today that can set you free from the depths of your heart. God's still going to have a pure church. He's still going to have a pure people. The Holy Ghost is still holy. The righteousness of God is still righteous. The Word of God is still cleansing. I thank God that there's a place we can still go and say, not in this pea patch, devil. You forage somewhere else. You go off somewhere else. But I've got my sword and I've got my God. And you're not coming any further. Because I've decided that live or die, I'm not leaving this place. And you're not getting in this place except over my dead body. It might be your family. The enemy probes until he finds a weakness. He pushes until he finds a way in. He ravages and he tears and he wants things to be left in tatters. He wants shredded marriages. Some people eat shredded wheat for breakfast. He likes to eat shredded marriages. He likes rebellious children. If he can find a way to push the buttons to get rebellious parents and rebellious children and rebellious families, he'll do everything he can. He wants to destroy families. But at some point, Dad, you need to stand up. You're the gatekeeper of your home. Don't you shirk your responsibility in this age that wants to emasculate all that is truly manly and godly. You need to stand up and say, devil, I've got news for you. This is my house. This is my place. This is my children. This is my wife. And you're not coming in this house. I've decided that I'm going to stand here. It may not mean much to the world, but this is my pea patch. And I'm not letting anybody here. There needs to be, I would to God, that there would be a spirit of courage that would rise up in this church where men would be men and women would be women and children would know what it is to see a mom and a dad that knows what it is to be a mom and dad. Oh, I tell you, I hasten on because I know, but listen, he can't have our children. He can't have our marriages. He can't control the atmosphere of our home. The next time you feel a conflict come through the door and you feel like you're agitated and you feel like flying back at your wife or your husband, why don't you say, devil, not in this pea patch. I've decided we're going to have the peace of God in this house. If we have a problem, we'll take it to the prayer room. When it comes time to be in the house of God, we'll be in the house of God. You know what? If coming to church on Sunday is not doing it for you, why don't you try Wednesday and Sunday? And if Wednesday and Sunday is not doing it for you, why don't you send your kids to youth service?
And if Wednesday and Sunday and Friday is not doing it for you, we're trying to keep the doors open down here to have prayer in the evening around 7. If you want to come in during the day sometime, we'll try to make arrangements for that. I understand not everybody can be here at that time. There is a prayer meeting tomorrow night, Monday night, 7 o'clock, and you're welcome to come. But I will tell you this, the Bible simply says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Lord's perspective on it was when the world got darker, when the world became more perverted, the church would get more zealous, and the church would find its way fellowshipping together in the house of God. I hasten on. Maybe it's just the souls that are surrounding your life. They're just lentils as far as the world's concerned. The world takes people and it addicts them and abuses them and uses them up. And when their soul is shriveled, since he no longer has the keys of death, since they were taken to him from him by our Lord, he casts them into a gutter. He casts them into some dark cave somewhere where he's hoping they'll take their own life, where he's hoping they'll just shrivel up there and lose their will and desire. He's hoping they'll be forgotten by this world, and after a while, they'll just join him in the pits of hell. But God put the church on this earth. What's the church here? The church is here to reach lost souls. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. God said, I'm leaving the church here not to look pretty, not to build buildings, not to build colleges, but I'm leaving the church here to reach souls and to build the kingdom of God. So the lentil field may be the lost souls, outcast souls that society no longer cares about. You find them on a hot day with a ball cap on, a stocking cap on and a coat because they're freezing, because they're coming down off of a high. You'll find them in the middle of a winter somewhere, and they've lost their ability to they have no more wheels because they either lost their money and they have no car, or they're so in trouble with the law they can't drive anymore for fear of getting thrown back into jail, and society will leave them alone and cast them aside. But God says, I see them, I love them, I died for them. They're my church, they're my people. I have much people in this city. If somebody would fight in the pea patch. How long has it been since you fought for your co-worker's salvation? How long has it been since you interceded for somebody that you witnessed to? How long has it been since you laid claim in the name of Jesus for your neighbor? How long have you thought that there are 48,743 souls in Minot and only a handful of them know the truth? How about 6,000 at least at the Air Force Base? Only a handful of them know the church, know the truth. 72,000 in Ward County, only a handful of them know anything about God. 6,000 in McHenry County, and only a few of them know anything about God. 10,000 of them in Montrell County, and only a handful of them know anything about God. Somebody needs to get in the pea patch. Somebody needs to get a sword. Somebody needs to confront the Philistines and say, you're not coming here. It's going to be victory. Listen, I have a lot, and I'm going to work on closing somehow. Shamgar had an ox goad. David had a sling. Dorcas had a needle. Rahab had some string. Samson had a jawbone, and Aaron had a rod. Mary had some ointment, and all were used by God. They decided, this is the day. If I've got to fight with a jawbone, I'm going to fight. Somebody, so how are we going to pray? First of all, we need to learn to pray. If we're going to fight, we're going to pray. No more, now I lay me down to sleep kinds of prayer. No more cups of milk and a snooze in the sunshine kind of prayers. No more praying just till I feel better kinds of prayers. No more clock watching and time killing and can't wait till we're through kind of prayers. But we're going to need some mountain moving prayers and some devil chasing prayers and some giant killing prayers and some mountain moving prayers and some hell shaking prayers and some Holy Ghost passion prayers, some tongue talking prayers and some strong crying and tears until time is forgotten and eternity is consulted and altars are made kind of prayers. We're going to use a sword. Somebody needs to. The Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing center of soul and spirit, and the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Somebody needs to learn to use this Word of God. It's more than rote and catechism. It's more than legacy and tradition. It's more than head knowledge and theology. It's more than a sermon or a song. It's more than obligation and formality. It's deeper than the head, and it's somewhere in the soul. The Word of God. Jeremiah said, I'm not, no more Word of God. He said, I will not make mention of him, won't speak anymore in his name, but his word. He doesn't say the Holy Ghost, it says his word. He doesn't say that some thrill on a Sunday afternoon. It says the Word of God. The Word was in my heart, and as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. The Word of God became so compelling and became so powerful that I had to get it out to somebody. That's what will defeat the devil in your pea patch. Stop storms and starts revivals. And then it's time to learn how to fight in the Holy Ghost. You know, Satan doesn't fight fair. You ever fought anybody who didn't fight fair? Anybody ever been Sunday punched? I have. Sunday punched is when you're walking along or you're in a situation you're not expecting to punch and all of a sudden it comes out of nowhere. It's a Sunday punch. I guess it's because you're not supposed to punch people on Sundays. It's not fair. Satan doesn't fight fair. You know why he doesn't fight fair? People that don't fight fair, and I know that if you're down in the alley in dark night and there are no rules, I get that. But people don't fight fair, it's because they're afraid they're going to lose. That's why they Sunday punch, because they're wanting to knock you out before you get started, because they know if they let you get started, they're going to get beat up. People that don't fight fair, it's because they've been beaten up so many times that they found out that's the only way they can win. Satan is a defeated foe. He's already, the Bible tells us, he's already been defeated. He doesn't fight fair because he understands that the power resides in the Lord. And tonight and today, you have the power of God. And there is nothing that can be withheld from you through the name of Jesus. The Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The Holy Ghost is powerful enough today to help you hold your pea patch. Stand with me. I stand so that I'll stop. What we need today. Now we're going to open this altar again. But this is what we need. We need a Holy Ghost to sweep in here. God's got more work to do. I know some of you have got a wonderful touch. If God has already delivered you and God's already touched you, I want, as we get ready to pray, I want you to just begin to magnify the Lord. Because when you begin to magnify the Lord and praise the Lord, God begins to move in. But why have I spent the last, 30 minutes, whatever it's been, reaching for somebody? Because I feel like there's still a pea patch. And somebody's going to have to learn to raise a sword. The Bible tells us that was the Spirit of the Lord that moved upon the face of the waters. And when it did, darkness and chaos began to become orderly and light. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And she who knew no man conceived. She bare a child. That's a miracle. Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost empowered the apostles. persecution, ridicule, and scorn, and even government interference could not stop the most powerful move of God in the history of the world up to that time because of the Holy Ghost. They put John on the Isle of Patmos with all the other fugitives. But John said they didn't know about this. They could take my Bible. They could take my favorite suit. I don't know, favorite robe. They could take all my earthly possessions and they could take all my friends. But I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And when he got in the Spirit, God began to move. And that Isle of Patmos, which was a place of fugitives and heretics, became a sanctuary of the mighty power and anointing of God. And he began to write the book of Revelation, where we still draw wisdom and direction even today. The essential means of keeping your pea patch is not your willpower, and not your education, and not your money, and not your connections with man. It is your ability to be able to allow the Holy Ghost to have its way in your life. That is the way that you're going to stay. If you've served God for a week, it's the Holy Ghost that's going to keep you. If you've served God for a year, it's the Holy Ghost that's going to keep you. If you've served God for a decade, it's the Holy Ghost that's going to keep you. If you've served God for 50 years, it's the Holy Ghost that's going to keep you. The only answer we have today is to allow God to reach in and say, Lord, my hand is feeble and my sword feels short and the enemy have numbered themselves against me. But oh God, let your Holy Ghost come on about right now. Because I know if all I have is a jawbone, if all I have is an ox goad, if all I have is a swing, it's enough when I have the Holy Ghost. And your spirit is with me. If you still feel like you need victory in this house today, right now is your time. God's not finished yet. I want you to march up here in the confidence and expectation of what God can do. It doesn't matter to me if it's two or three. If somebody today, you got a pea patch and you want victory in that particular place in your life, I want you to come and say, God, here I am. Here I am. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to believe in you. I come in the name of Jesus. I come under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, have your way right now. God, you see this altar. Fill it with your spirit, God. Fill it with your power today, oh God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Oh, look what the Lord is doing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's marvelous in our eyes.